Sports Day player on 720 WGN. So Steve Darnall, he discovered the golden age of radio at the age of 12 years old by listening to Chuck Shaden's Those Were the Days, a weekly show looking back at the simpler times, the happy days, the golden years of old-time radios and beyond. And he's now hosted that himself for almost 10 years already. And Steve took over as publisher and editor of Nostalgia Digest magazine back in 2004. And joining me to talk about the summer edition of Nostalgia Digest magazine, which includes stories of the Marx Brothers, the Lone Ranger, and more, is Steve Darnall. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, David. Listen, I'm in the lobby of the Tribune Tower. Where are you?
Is that where you're doing the show from now?
Yeah, I guess.
That's so funny. I actually heard that people who've come on the show that were coming there for years actually have gone over to the Tribune Tower.
Is that right?
Yeah,
seriously?
I think there's a couple interviews that happened from the lobby. I really do. So that's not as silly as you think.
Oh, well, I guess I'm both happy and sad to hear that. But
yeah, exactly. Exactly. How you been, pal?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you. It's thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm sorry I can't be with you, but you know, it's been an amazing summer, and we're very, very grateful for this chance, and of course, my favorite subjects in the world, the golden age of radio and
the Marx Brothers.
Nostalgia Digest, all those things.
And the Marx Brothers, of course, down the cover of this Nostalgia Digest. And you know what has surprised me is that I know they were on vaudeville and Broadway and motion pictures, obviously, that they started all the way back in 1905.
Yes, they were just, well, kids in the relative sense. They were barely in their teens or just barely out of them in some cases. Yes, and a lot of people don't know that the Marx Brothers actually spent some time in the suburbs of Chicago, in the town of LaGrange, Illinois, where I grew up. Their mother, Minnie, had bought some farmland down there, and I've heard various accounts as to why this was, whether it was to keep them out of the draft in World War I, or whether it was to keep them from being claimed by child services because they didn't have a fixed address. But regardless, it's, and whenever I was at Lyons Township High School in LaGrange as a student, you know, we'd always try to find out whatever we could about the Marx Brothers being students at Lyons Township.
That's
but the
cool.
story was they weren't especially good students. So.
They weren't. I'm sure they weren't.
No, I don't imagine they sat still for anybody.
You know, I always love reading the trivia of these guys. They received their stage names during a poker game. Did you know this?
I did hear this,
yeah.
In fact, we were featuring some Marx Brothers recordings on our radio show today, and they did mention some of the origins. I mean, the idea, a lot of people don't know this, that Chico actually was named because of his habit of chasing the ladies, chicks.
That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. And who was it? Who was Julius? Julius was Groucho. And then so he was, he used to carry around a Grouch bag. Which carried like toys as a kid, like marbles and candy and the like, right?
I think that's right. Yes, sort of the equivalent of Mad Money, I suppose. You know, too, it's sort of like just stuff. I never carried a Grouch bag, but my demands were always much larger toys. So
sure, of course, of course. But you know what? Now, when you think about the Marx Brothers, I mean, obviously, you really go right to the movies, and yes, they were in vaudeville, but nothing kind of remains from that period. But nobody talks as much about their radio time, and yeah, they had they were on the radio from the very early days of the 1930s. You know, guest starring on other people's shows, but they had their own, you know, featurettes as well.
They did. In fact, the summer issue of the Nostalgia Digest, to which you refer, has a cover story about the radio show that brought Chico and Groucho to radio in 1932, the Five Star Theater, and that's where they performed their own series within the series, Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel, about with Groucho basically as an incompetent or crooked lawyer, and Chico as Ravelli, his assistant. And it's really interesting because there's not a lot of audio evidence of these. The recordings have, for the most part, been lost to time, but the scripts have been collected in book form. And it's interesting because they weren't shy about borrowing from their movies when they wrote this radio series, nor was it impossible to think that some of the jokes that were in the radio show wouldn't turn up in subsequent movies?
Right, yeah, yeah. I found that very interesting. Yeah, they did. They definitely shared that. But, you know, different audiences maybe thought that it would work differently on film when people could actually see them versus the radio. I mean, they said that there's a ton of stuff from that Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel from, and that was Standard Oil, I think, that did the five-star
theater. That was Standard Oil, yes. Interesting, too, is that this was, as the article notes, that this was at a time when they were still making movies in Hollywood, but they were doing radio in New York, and so this meant basically a real serious commute for a long period of time until they finally managed to convince Standard Oil and NBC that they could broadcast the show from Paramount Studios in Hollywood.
And the Marx Brothers did a lot of radio early on, but then it was Groucho who kind of really stayed on himself, almost solo, doing a lot of shows.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, the Marx Brothers as an entity sort of ran their course. And interestingly enough, Groucho Marx never really had much success in radio for the first 15 years or so. And I think scripted radio shows were just not his milieu, you know, because he was usually much funnier than what a radio writer would write for him. But thankfully, John Goodell found his ability to ad lib, and with the thanks to the miracle of recording tape, it was possible to get Groucho in a situation where he could ad lib and improvise. And then you just cut out the stuff that wasn't as funny, but the rest was absolute gold, and that was You Bet Your Life, the quiz program.
Right, that's right, that's right, that's right. Lots more in the digest, the summer edition. There's a feature on the Lone Ranger in there.
That's right, yeah. Fred Foy, who was the announcer for the Lone Ranger for many years, passed away some years ago, but he wrote a memoir which has just recently been published, and we had the rights to reprint a portion of that. But yes, it's he has marvelous recollections about going to work for the Lone Ranger program at WXYZ in Detroit, and in fact had one occasion where the star, Brace Beamer, took sick, and Fred Foy stepped in to play the title role. And just a delightful memory from him. And that's one of the things I love about publishing Nostalgia Digest, is that you get some history from people who maybe, like you and I, were not there for this period, but it's also equally thrilling to hear from the people who were there and share their memories of this time. And as you know, some of the people who were there are getting a little fewer and farther between.
Yeah.
So it's really special when you can capture the recollections of someone like Fred Foy about this radio show that changed so many lives.
He was a legend himself, of course, in radio, and this show, I believe, it was Mutual, right? So it aired on WGN at some point, probably.
It did for a time. In fact, I believe it was instrumental in the founding of the Mutual Radio Network.
That's amazing.
Because WGN, among other stations, really wanted to capitalize on the success of this Detroit radio show, so they went into business as a network with WXYZ.
Isn't that wild? And there was 3,000 radio shows of The Lone Ranger,
yes,
which blow me away. But, I mean, think about, like, what kind of, you know, what show, what program made it through radio, television, the movies, books, and was as prominent as The Lone Ranger was back in the day?
It's hard to imagine. I mean, there were certainly soap operas that ran 5 days a week and lasted for 15 or 20 or 25 years, so they produced thousands and thousands of shows. But I would also suggest that the audience for a soap opera didn't match, in terms of size or age range, the audience for The Lone Ranger, was on three times a week.
Amazing.
Yeah, and one thing, yeah, that's interesting is the Lone Ranger had a cap pistol giveaway early on in his run and said, well, we have 300 cap pistols for the first people who write in, and apparently they got like 25,000 responses.
I bet they did. Well, you know, and I know the audience was, obviously, it was made for kids, so to speak, mm-hmm. but half that audience was adults.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like I say, these are the things we love to capture and you know, nostalgia is a very broad umbrella, and that's why we've got articles in the new issue about radio, we've got some about television, we've got some about the movies, we've actually got a great piece about House Beautiful magazine. and the designs of the 1950s.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Houses that you and I could probably only aspire to own.
Yeah, David. Right. Well, we can afford them now at that price. Probably.
Right.
That'd probably be better now. And you did something on dime stores, and I want to talk to you about that after we come back for the break. But tell folks how they get Nostalgia Digest. It's published
four times a year. You can subscribe to Nostalgia Digest when you visit nostalgiadigest.com, or you can call our offices at 773-769-6575. A one-year subscription is $17. A two-year subscription is $30. And do we have time to mention the deal?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, please.
Thanks to the largesse of your colleague, Carl Amari, if you purchase a two-year subscription to Nostalgia Digest, and you, I mean the royal you, because David has one.
I do have one, yes.
If you purchase a two-year subscription to Nostalgia Digest and mention WGN when you place your order, we will include, absolutely free, a CD set containing Carl Amari's Twilight Zone radio dramas.
Yeah, that's cool. What a great deal.
I've got the set right here.
That's awesome. Very cool. And we're going to leave you as we go to commercial, because we're going to come back and talk about the dime stores, with the opening, the classic opening of The Lone Ranger.
Perfect.
Fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo, Silver, the Lone Ranger.